to be with you. If you have a Bible, open it up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible and you want one to follow along, raise your hand up. We'll get one to you. Couple. And when you have it, open up to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. It's the first Gospel. It begins the New Testament, so it's pretty easy to find. If you can find the New Testament, you can find Matthew, and it's chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Father, we pause again. To give you the honor due your name. To be still and to know that you are God. That all that we see was spoken into existence by the words of your mouth. The stars, Lord, were set in their place by your hand. The sun, Lord, was orchestrated to bring life and light to this world we live in, all done by you. And so we pause and give you honor and glory. Your greatness is beyond comprehension. Yet, you became Emmanuel. You became with us. Once again, Lord, we pray you would be with us here this morning. In your son's name, amen. The post office is very busy this time of year. From the day of Thanksgiving until Christmas, they will deliver 20 billion letters, packages, or cards. 20 billion. That's a lot of cards. December 19th was their busiest day. That day alone, they delivered enough mail that if it was set end to end, it would circle the globe 6 times. It's a lot of mail. So don't complain if it's a day or two late. And hopefully, some of that $20 billion has your name on it, your address on it. I know that each year, around Christmas time, I seem to get a letter, a card, maybe even a package, from someone that I've lost contact with. Someone that has drifted away. Usually it's my fault. I'm terrible at keeping in contact with people. This year was no exception. Got a letter from a college roommate, Paul Londigan. We drifted apart. I haven't talked to him in a long time. And there it was, a card from him with his phone number. We're good friends. In fact, we were great friends in college. Shared a lot of interesting, sometimes difficult times. One in particular. We were studying at night in our little house. We had six roommates, four bedrooms, packed. The other four guys, they were in bed. Paul and I were studying there. And about 11 o'clock at night, Paul decided, I got to go rollerblading. I got to get out of here. I got to do something. Can't sit any longer. All right, see you, Paul. I kept studying. 45 minutes later or so, I hear this kind of clunking at the door and this clumsiness coming down the hallway. I'm wondering, what happened? What's the deal? Paul comes in and he's holding his left hand. What happened? He goes, I think I broke my arm. Oh, no. He said, can you give me a ride to the hospital? Well, sure. So I loaded him up in my 1983 Toyota four-wheel drive pickup. Now, this pickup, I bought it. It was a really good deal. It's one thing I can't pass up. It's good deals. But someone had jacked it up really high, and it had these big tires on it. And so you would just go over a pine cone, and that thing would just, you know, bounce around. So Paul's in there with his arm just hurting, and here I am driving this, and I'm trying to drive slow. But I want to drive fast because I want to get him to the hospital. So it's a dilemma. And so, he's just grimacing in pain. We get to the hospital, and it's midnight. There's nobody there. One doctor. And so the doctor takes us over into this room, sees Paul's in some serious difficulty, and he goes, looks at me and says, I need your help. I need you to help me. We're short on staff right now. Could you give me a hand? I thought, no problem. You know, I've been in the hospital a lot. I've busted my head open. I've tore up my shoulders about four or five times. I've broken my toe. I've broken my leg. I've broken my hand. I broke a lot of things. I'm thinking, no problem. What do you want me to do? He said, what I want you to do is hold with one hand his wrist and hold with the other hand his elbow. Piece of cake. Grabbed his wrist. Grabbed his elbow. And it was then that I began to realize that there was nothing holding those two parts of his body together. They were kind of just going back and forth. The wrist would go up. The elbow would stay still. And it was stretchy. They kind of would go, you know, and kind of rubber bandy. And I'm there, and I'm thinking, wow, this is not right. And then the whole room began to get rubbery, and then my mind began to swim. And right before I crashed to the ground, this doctor grabs me. He leaves Paul, which we later on find out he's got both bones broken. He'd have to have four plates put in his arm and have about six surgeries to fix it. So here's Paul with his busted, really bad busted arm. Here I am, passing out. The doctor leaves Paul, grabs me, sits me down, starts asking me these questions. What's your name? When were you born? Put your head between your legs, start breathing. Calls in a nurse. Nurse, we need help with this guy. I remember looking up through the swimming room and seeing Paul over there holding his arm just going, why did I bring you? I'm glad he's forgiven me. He wrote me a note. He's not keeping it against me. And I was able to call him up a couple days ago, and we talked for a long time. In fact, it made us late for a Christmas event we were headed to. But as I thought about it, I thought, that's the purpose of Christmas. What? You getting back together with old college roommates? No. The purpose of Christmas is reconnecting. It's reconnecting. That's the whole meaning. That's the whole reason why we have Christmas. Check it out. It's in our text. Look at verse 23. It says in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. That was God's plan from the very beginning. That was God's design from day one, was for him to be with us. Remember back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It says in Genesis chapter 1 that God there was creating what we see. And when it came to time to create mankind, you and me, he stopped. And there was a heavenly conference. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they got together and they said, let us make man in our image. Let's make man in our image. Why? Why would they make man in our image? Because God wanted to have a connection with you and with me. God wanted to have fellowship with us. God wanted to be with us. God wanted to Emmanuel. That's what he wanted. That's why we alone, humans, are created in his image. Animals, they're not. I've never seen my dog, Chloe, thank the Lord for her meal. I've never seen my dog, Chloe, ponder the universe and look out at the stars and wonder at who made all that. The only thing she ponders or contemplates is, what's the most expensive thing of Matt's I can chew up? That's it. Animals don't contemplate. They don't think about God. Why? Because they're not created in God's image. We alone, mankind, us, we were created in God's image to have a connection with him, to commune with him. And that's exactly what took place. As you read on in Genesis, it says God would come down into the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening and walk with Adam and walk with Eve and teach them and train them, be a heavenly father to them. That was God's design from the beginning, to be with us, to Emmanuel. But then there was that dreadful day. One thing they couldn't do. Don't eat from this tree. Every other tree in the garden, thousands and thousands of trees, enjoy them. But one tree, only one. Don't eat of this tree. And they did. And because of that, the connection was broken. Boom! Because of that, they were driven out of Eden, that place where they had communion, where they had connection, where they had fellowship with their Father, with their Heavenly Father. They were driven out of it. They weren't allowed to stay there because of sin. It separated them. And if you look at the Bible, the next 38 books, Exodus to Malachi, are with one purpose. One purpose in all those books. What is that? God reconnecting with you, with me, with mankind. He tried many different ways, didn't he? To Cain, the firstborn man. God said this to him, Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. Cain, do what's right, and then we can be connected. You'll be accepted. Do what's right, Cain. But Cain, what did Cain do? Did he do what's right? No. He killed his brother Abel. Boom! Disconnect again. In fact, that murder would cause earth to descend into such chaos that it would have to be destroyed by Noah's flood. You guys know the story. So then God said, Abraham, my friend, I've got a deal for you, Abraham. A promise. A promise that's going to be so powerful that it's going to connect us together. I'm going to promise you, number one, a land flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful land. I'm going to promise you, number two, a child. You've been without kids, you and your wife, for 70 years. I'm going to promise you a child. Great promise. That could connect them, but it didn't, did it? What happened? Well, the promised land, Abe moved there, things got tough, he left and went to Egypt. Not good enough for me. The kid, the promised child, he couldn't wait long enough, and so eventually he just tried to do things on his own and ended up with a son from Hagar. Ishmael. Not Isaac, the promised son, but Ishmael. Oh, Abraham, the promise didn't hold. So then God said, this is it. I'll give you a perfect system. I'll give you an absolutely perfect system. If you keep this system, we can connect. We can have fellowship. We can commune with each other. It was called the law. And Moses was given that perfect law there on Mount Sinai. Came down from God, written by the finger of God. Yet the very day it was given, down below, it was broken. There below, the children of Israel had made a golden calf and began to worship the golden calf. The day it was given, it was broken. And this cry is echoed throughout the prophets. God crying, I want to reconnect with you. I want to be with you. I want to Emmanuel with you. But there just was no way. There just was no connection. Maybe it's summed up best in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Where God speaks through Jeremiah and says this, hey, why don't you ask and look for the old paths? The old paths, what old paths? The old paths there in Eden, where we would walk together. Why don't you walk that way, God was saying to his people. Walk there, and you'll find life, you'll find rest for your souls. Jeremiah was told by God, pray for the old paths. See, look, walk with me, the Lord was saying. But then the people, mankind, we answered him and said, we will not walk therein. We're not going to do it. We're not going to reconnect with you in that way. And so here, the final way God decided to reconnect with us is found in Matthew chapter 1. It didn't work the law. It didn't work the promise. It didn't work the conscience. It didn't work perfect creation there in the Garden of Eden. Was it God's failing? Did God do anything wrong? No way. Each time it was men failing. Each time it was us. We couldn't do it. We couldn't keep the law. The promise wouldn't keep us in a good place. Even perfect creation, man, we still have our minds. It didn't work. And so God here says there's one last option. This is the one that's going to work. And in fact, I believe the Bible gives us a conversation that took place in the heavenlies between God the Father and God the Son on Christmas Eve. What? Yeah. A heavenly conversation between the Father and the Son the day before Christmas, on Christmas Eve. Really? Yes. Turn with me for our final text found in Hebrews chapter 10. Where we see, I believe, a heavenly conversation taking place between the Father and the Son on Christmas Eve. This day, 2,000 years ago. The book of Hebrews is very close to the end of your Bible. If you're in Revelation, you've gone too far. It's after Philemon, but that's a teeny little book. It's after Titus, after 1 and 2 Timothy, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Where we see this heavenly conversation, check it out. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, wherefore, when he comes, who's he? Jesus. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he said, I believe speaking to the Father, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt sacrifices and offerings for sins, thou hast had no pleasure. It's the Son talking to the Father saying, the law, the Old Testament, that way of coming to you, it didn't work. It didn't cleanse. It didn't do it. It didn't make a way for us to come. So Jesus would say, the Son to the Father, there's a new way. You have prepared a body for me. And then he goes on in verse 7 to say, Then said I, Jesus, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. What will? A will of reconnecting. Reconnecting a creator with his creation. Reconnecting a heavenly Father with his kids. That's why I've come, Jesus would say. I've come to do your will, to reconnect a lost generation, a lost society, a lost world to me, to reconnect you. Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every man. There's a hole in our heart and in every woman that only can be filled by God. We were created, Genesis 1 says, to have fellowship with him. And Matthew would say, it happened. God with us. Emmanuel. No wonder the angels sang. No wonder the shepherds ran to see. No wonder the wise men traveled. Why? Because it was Emmanuel. God is with us. The culmination of 4,000 years of history, finally reconnected. A way was made. Forgiveness of sins. A joy unspeakable. Peace that passes understanding. Purpose in life. Eternal life. Reconnecting with our Maker. Emmanuel. This conversation took place 2,000 years ago. 2005, whatever. 2007. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, there's a body prepared for me so that I can Emmanuel, I can God be with you. And every Christmas since then, I believe that same conversation has taken place. Huh? That's right. The same conversation takes place. Jesus continues to look for bodies that have been prepared for him so that he can Emmanuel, God with us. What do you mean, Matt? Well, here's the deal. The last book in the Bible, Revelation. In Revelation 3:20, it says this. God, Jesus, stands at the door of men's hearts and knocks. Is there room for me here? Is this a body prepared for me? Will you open your heart to me? I will come into you. I will Emmanuel with you. I will be with you. That same offer is made this day. That same conversation, I believe, took place this day in the heavenlies. There's bodies prepared for me, Father. There are hearts I need to be knocking on. People that need to come into the kingdom this day. People that need to reconnect with their Heavenly Father. People that need to have sins forgiven. People that need to have their lives renewed. People that need to have purpose for their being here. There's hearts that I'm knocking on. There's bodies that are prepared. And I believe there are some in here. I believe there are some in here that have been disconnected from their Heavenly Father. Oh, they may have known their Heavenly Father years ago when they're little, but now time has gone by. A disconnect has happened. A drifting has happened, and it's no longer Emmanuel. The garden time, the Eden time is over. It feels like you've been cast out. I believe there are others in here that have never accepted the greatest gift ever given. Not a Christmas card, not a package, but God Himself, the unspeakable gift, as the Apostle Paul would call it. I'm going to ask all of us to bow our heads right now, and Christians, be in prayer. I believe there are folks in here that need to be reconnected this day with their Maker. They need to be reconnected with Jesus Christ. They need to have Emmanuel, God with them, the greatest Christmas gift ever given. And if you here right now have felt a knock on your heart, you felt a hole that cannot be filled, you've tried to fill it with other things, if there is that longing in your heart, if there is that knocking even this day since we've been in here, I want to give you an opportunity to Emmanuel, to have God with you, to reconnect this day with your Heavenly Father. You may have drifted away. You may have had a time of Eden, but now, man, you're as far away from God as you can imagine. I want to give you an opportunity to allow Jesus Christ into your heart. And Jesus makes this promise. Whoever opens their heart to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's nothing you've done that Jesus' blood cannot forgive you of. So I'm going to ask you right now, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. And Jesus will Emmanuel with you. He will come into your heart. He will change you. He will give you purpose in your life. And you can accept the greatest Christmas gift ever given, that of God with us, Emmanuel. Go ahead, raise your hand. If you're saying, that's me, I want to accept that gift, raise your hand, and I'll pray for you, and you will accept Jesus Christ. I saw that. Father, we do thank you that you have given us the gift of salvation. And I pray, Lord, for the raised hand, Lord, that you would truly come into them, that you would sup with them, that you would make your place with them, that you would Emmanuel with them. And for those of us, Lord, in here that have drifted a little from you, may this Christmas season be a season where, Lord, we come back to a close relationship with you. Where we can, Lord, once again, walk in the cool of the garden with you, having fellowship with you. How thankful, Lord, I am for that soul that now has sins cleansed, the hole filled, a life of purpose. Bless, Lord. Thank you that heart has been committed to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, one final verse for us as the worship team comes up. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It says in Luke 2, behold, in verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings, great joy. You have Emmanuel, a heavenly Father that loves you, a heavenly Father that is going to walk with you, a heavenly Father that is going to guide you. It's Emmanuel. It's good tidings. Enjoy Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. We're going to sing a couple songs as we close. God bless you.
Why don't you go ahead and stand up for these last couple of songs? Thanks. And the words are in the back of your bulletin, if you're wondering. The words are in the back of that bulletin. Grab it if you would.
Oh, come all ye faithful.